In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Wednesday, July 24th, 2013 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Wednesday in the 3 o'clock hour, it's Pentagon Solutions, sponsored by DRS Technologies. And today my guest is Doug Wilson. He's Senior Fellow in Residence at the Truman Project and Center for National Policy and former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs, just recently departing the Pentagon. He has an opinion piece in Defense One titled Ditch the QDR. And Mr. Wilson and I talk about the overarching concept behind his thesis that the Pentagon should dispense with the 2014 Quadrennial Defense Review process.
The message I wanted to get across in this piece is at a time where all government agencies and departments, and particularly the Pentagon, are looking very strenuously at ways to save money because of the sequestration, something that was unexpected but has happened. We need to take a serious look at eliminating what is real waste and duplication. The QDR, the Quadrennial Defense Review, which is mandated by Congress to take place every 4 years, has de facto just been done a year ago on an exercise that, in my experience in over 30 years, I've never seen such a unified, coherent approach to tying spending to strategy. And as a result, Francis, this was the first time in my memory that you didn't see senior military leaders running up to the hill in order to try to protect individual turf, because they understood the gravity of the fiscal situation and they understood that you needed everybody needed to give. And they also understood that it was not a zero-sum game. You needed to give in terms of spending that didn't make sense anymore, but you also needed to make sure to invest in areas that were going to be relevant to the nation's national security over the coming years. That's been done. I'm not entirely sure why we need to spend hundreds, if not millions of dollars, and thousands of man hours over the next seven months to do the exact same thing again.
You ask this question, obviously somewhat rhetorically, in this piece. Didn't the Pentagon just do all that with the strategic guidance it produced last year? And I was struck after the release of the Sustaining Global Leadership strategy that, as you say, there was no bubbling under. There were no reports, I'm using air quotes as I say that word, of discord in the Pentagon. We didn't see a dramatic pushback from the Hill on that. It's been called the Pentagon called it the rebalance. Other people have called it a pivot to Asia and the Middle East. But everybody seemed to kind of look at that document and say, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. This, we understand why this is stated in this way, given the threats that we face today.
That's right. I wouldn't call it either pivot or rebalance. I would call it, this was a truly unified and coherent attempt to frame spending cuts with a long-term strategy. In other words, it was not the tail wagging the dog. It was this administration's insistence that if we were going to take mandated $489 billion in cuts, this was mandated by the Budget Control Act of 2011, that it was going to be done in a way that met the nation's security needs, and that those who were going to be in on implementing the landing were going to be in on designing the takeoff. That was Leon Panetta, the Secretary of Defense, his philosophy. And the reason that you had such a unified approach to the results is because you had daily discussions involving everybody, military, civilian, everybody at the table. Everybody understood the stakes. There was input. It didn't mean that Secretary of Defense bought off on every single idea that was proposed. What it meant was that everybody had a chance to propose, and everybody stuck to the same agreed-upon framework. That's why at the end of it, you had the leaders of all four uniformed services and the secretaries of the services and the Secretary of Defense and his deputy, together with the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief, for the first time ever at the Pentagon podium, releasing this to the public and saying, we understand that cutting spending is key. We understand that it's no longer as many dollars as everybody wants at the Pentagon, but we're going to do it in a way that keeps this country secure, that keeps our military the strongest in the world, and that recognizes what we owe to returning vets and their families.
Now, I think the key to the argument of discontinuing the QDR process is understanding what went into the Sustaining Global Leadership Report. Let me go back to the tail wagging the dog comment that you made a moment ago. That is kind of broaches on the only criticism that I heard of this, which was, well, this is just a budget document, and we took the top line and fit what we wanted to accomplish or where we saw the threats to fit that top line. Tell me why that wasn't the case, and tell me why this was a marriage, as you kind of laid it out there, of strategy and budget.
I was at the table for the entire process. I saw the sausage being made, and watching sausage being made isn't fun. This was not a matter of just shoving everything so that it would equal $489 billion. It was a matter of saying, what do we need to protect this country? And we understand the resources that are available to do it. That doesn't mean you apply this equally. We're going to take 10% from here and 10% from there and 10% across the board. What it means is, there are going to be some ships that aren't going to be built. There's going to be downsizing of Army and Marine forces, but it doesn't mean you're ditching the Army and Marines. It means you're going to give them new tools to adapt to the kinds of battles that they're going to have to face in the 21st century. It means that one of the versions of Global Hawk is going to go by because it hasn't met the specifications within the budget parameters that it had to address. Another version of Global Hawk does, and it stays. It went into that kind of detail. It recognized that, and I want to say, we're not pivoting away from one area of the world to another. We are recognizing that the kinds of threats that emanate from an arc that stretches from North Africa to Southwest Asia are going to continue to be very real, and threats we're going to have to continue to face. But we also need to understand at the same time that both economic opportunities and potential challenges to those opportunities are going to emerge in an area that's critical to the strength of this country, and that is Asia and Pacific. So the framework recognized the importance of both those areas and the importance of making sure that our national security and opportunities to enjoy economic benefits as well were addressed.
That's Doug Wilson. He's senior fellow in residence at the Truman Project and the Center for National Policy and former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs. My guest on Pentagon Solutions today, sponsored by DRS Technologies, talking about his proposal to do away with the 2014 Quadrennial Defense Review. When we continue, four requirements for the 2014 QDR and his arguments that they've already been met. When we continue on Pentagon Solutions on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and Federal NewsRadio.com.
This week's Experts in Health topic is skin cancer prevention, featuring Dr. Mark Naftanel, a dermatologist with the Mid-Atlantic Permanente Medical Group, who practices at Kaiser Permanente's Falls Church Medical Center.
Skin cancer is the most common form of cancer in the U.S. Although it's very common, there are many things you can do to prevent it. First of all, educate your family about skin protection early on and apply sunscreen to everyone 6 months of age and older. Avoid being in the sun during peak hours, which is between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. If you do have to be in the sun, wear sunglasses, a wide-brimmed hat, and protective clothing. Perform regular monthly self-skin checks and also get your skin checked by a physician regularly. Use a broad-spectrum sunscreen. These provide protection against UVA and UVB rays. Sunscreen should be SPF 30 or higher and need to be reapplied at least every 2 hours. Follow these tips and hopefully you'll have healthy skin for years to come.
Dr. Naftanel was recognized as a top doctor in 2013 by the Northern Virginia Magazine. For more information, visit kp.org/midatlantic and click Meet Our Doctors.
DRS is up and running.
Monitoring a border is complex. At DRS, we've deployed technology on the Jordanian border.
DRS is proven.
With desert installations in Egypt, we thrive in the most forbidding terrain.
DRS is ready.
And in Arizona, DRS is ready with the most advanced technology. We're prepared to support the U.S. Customs and Border Protection IFT program. DRS Technologies, up, running, and ready to protect the U.S. border.
Learn more at DRS.com.
The secret to being successful is never slowing down. Your agency's mission doesn't have a pause button, and with CenturyLink as your trusted technology partner, you don't have to slow down. Their visionary cloud infrastructure and custom communication solutions are backed by dedicated responsive support. Pause button not included. To learn more about how CenturyLink keeps you up and rolling 24/7, 365, visit CenturyLink.com/gov. That's CenturyLink.com/gov.
Cyber solutions for 2013 and beyond. Stopping attacks and navigating a changing landscape. A panel discussion with leaders from industry and government, sponsored by Merlin International. And now, panelist Bill Keeley, Deputy Chief Technology Officer for Mission Assurance at DISA.
We divide traffic up into three areas. There's the known bad, and right now we are throwing that into our black holing it, throwing it into junk email, that type of thing. And there's the known good. We need some better systems to make sure that we can sort of assess that it's known good and then ignore it as we get into that third area, the one in the middle, the uncertain area. We want that uncertain area to get as small as possible.
With today's dynamic cyber threats, your agency needs a security partner with solid expertise. Merlin International and industry partner NetApp are recognized leaders in cybersecurity, creating some of the most effective solutions now deployed for the federal government. Learn more at merlin-intl.com. Merlin. Secure. Performance.
Tom Temin here with a preview of Thursday's Federal Drive. Remember when boy met girl or east met west? How about when the federal contractors meet the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act? The Professional Services Council has some insight. Plus, a small agency with a big impact, David Medin, chairman of the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board, joins us with his priorities. Those stories and much more tomorrow morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And for all the latest federal news, be sure to visit federalnewsradio.com.
Now for your DHS News Brief, brought to you by CenturyLink. Contemporary Services Corporation is the first designated qualified anti-terrorism technology company for crowd management and event security services under the Safety Act. The 2002 law protects companies using new anti-terror concepts or devices from liability stemming from an incident. The Department of Homeland Security will subject CSC to an annual review process, as well as periodic internal, external, and red team assessments. I'm Beth Reardon, Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. My guest on Pentagon Solutions today, sponsored by DRS Technologies, is Doug Wilson. He's Senior Fellow in Residence at the Truman Project and the Center for National Policy. He's former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs, and he's writing a piece called Ditch the QDR, about getting rid of the 2014 Quadrennial Defense Review. He writes in this piece in Defense One, there are four requirements for the 2014 QDR that have already been met in the 2012 Defense Strategic Guidance. Establishing strategic priorities, assessing the security environment, synchronizing challenges with new ways of addressing them, and laying the foundation for planning and decision-making in the next 4 years. He writes in his piece about economic opportunities as part of the security environment, and I asked him to describe how they're connected.
So much of the world's trade passes through so many of the shipping lanes in Asia that it's important to make sure that those shipping areas, that all nations are able to continue to enjoy transit through them. It's important to recognize that in China, we have both a partner and a nation which is fundamentally different politically than ours. And so we are going to have, opportunities to cooperate, as well as responsibilities to all of our friends and partners in Asia to make sure that human rights are recognized, that economic opportunities are respected, that shipping lanes are free, that all of the tools of national security, and those go beyond just the military tools, are at our disposal in order to make sure that our national security, which very much includes economic prosperity for all, is based. You know, the last two chairmen of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen and currently General Marty Dempsey, have both emphasized that the key to our security is economic strength, that a huge national debt is a national security threat. So you have to take a look at an area like Asia and understand kind of the dual challenges that you have, the positive and the meeting of responsibilities that you have there. And that is why when I talk about raising the game, it means that this area, which is important to us now, is going to become even more important to us in the future. And we need to be able to, to provide the resources necessary to address that. That does not mean they're going to be all the same tools and all the same kinds of spending. It means you tailor the tools to the needs.
Our partners in Europe have looked at this document with a little bit of concern, a little bit of apprehension. Some of my friends and contacts in the Pentagon, both at the OSD level and the branch level, have said, we've had to do a little bit of easing of concerns that we are not moving out of Europe, and obviously that's not the case. But another provision is something that you address in this piece, and you write about traditional partnerships with the nations in Europe expanding in scope as Europe becomes more a security provider than a security consumer. Now, if anything, Europe's economic situation, the EU as a whole and the individual countries, they're experiencing more severe financial constraints than we are here. What does that mean for formulating a strategy where we're relying, at least in part, on European partners?
All of us are facing economic difficulties. And over the last two or three years, we've seen all of the NATO alliance members in different stages of recovering from very severe economic shocks. I think it's important to recognize that over the past decade, the challenges that NATO has faced have not been primarily on the European continent. We have worked together in Afghanistan. We have worked together successfully in Libya. A number of NATO partners have been working together in North Africa to address the nascent challenges of new al-Qaeda offshoots and threats to security there. So our partnerships remain relevant, but this is no longer an era in which the United States is going to need to devote billions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of troops to the defense of the European continent per se. There is no question that our commitment to Europe's and NATO's security is unshakable and long-lasting. And I think that our NATO partners know and understand that. But it is going to be now a matter, Francis, of all NATO nations being able to play to each other's strengths as we look around the world to see additional common challenges that we're going to need to address together. Does it mean that we all invest in Global Hawk? Does it mean we all invest in police force training? Does it mean we all invest in new drone type technology? Not necessarily. In terms of each having separate components, I think what it does mean is that we all take a look at what are the common tools necessary, what are the individual national strengths, where taken together, the sum is greater than the individual components. But I think our relationship with Europe is no longer one of just, client sponsor. I think we all recognize we're in this together.
Doug Wilson's my guest of the Truman Center, former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs, and he's writing in Defense One about the Quadrennial Defense Review and the need to dispense with it. You write about four QDR requirements that were addressed in the 2012 report on sustaining global leadership. We've talked about a couple of those: establishing strategic priorities, assessing the security environment. The third one we've also addressed a little bit, but I'd like to explore a little bit more, and that is synchronizing challenges with new ways of addressing them. We've talked about some of the weapon systems and some of the other things that may not make it through this process, but one in particular that you address that has met a lot of resistance on Capitol Hill is another round of BRAC, base realignment and closure. And my fear is that if that does become the best way to go about shrinking the footprint of the military within the United States, without at least 50% plus one of 535 people, it's just not going to happen, and it's going to mean the Pentagon's going to have to go a different direction to try to find that savings.
I think you're right, and I think you're very realistic in terms of your assessment. It doesn't mean you abandon the proposal, because there's no question that to find some significant savings in the $489 billion and now the additional $500 billion of the sequester, an additional background getting rid of unneeded infrastructure in the United States would contribute greatly to that. So too, as I mentioned in my piece, would a look at the healthcare costs that are beginning really to gobble up the Pentagon budget. This does not mean that you provide our men and women in uniform with any less or lower standard quality of health care they deserve and are getting, the best quality health care that can be provided. In terms of quality for money, our men and women in uniform are probably getting the best in the country. What it means is we can achieve some savings in terms of what we're paying and how we're paying without affecting the quality of the health care. That's a commitment that was made by Secretary Gates, was reinforced strongly by Secretary Panetta, and is being reinforced by Secretary Hagel. You need to look at all kinds of areas of spending, because I think what we have grown up with, certainly at the Pentagon, is a feeling that more is better. And that just throwing more dollars into certain areas means that if you stop spending those dollars, you're going to weaken the quality. We need to stop making that equation. Those who designed the 2012 report, including the military and the civilian leaders, understood very much what a rock uphill it would be with regard to BRAC and with the health care costs. The political realities, you know, are out there. Everybody understands them. We understand the political gridlock in which we're working. But I don't think that that means that you say, okay, this was meant as a trial balloon. We didn't really mean it. I think you have to bring to the attention of the American public just what kind of waste we're talking about in terms of some of the spending on bases around the country and what's not needed. People have had to pull up their socks. Everybody's got to pull up their socks. I'm sure you know, and I certainly know people at the Pentagon who are really hurting as a result of the sequester. This sequester has caused financial hardship for people all over the country, and we're seeing individual examples of it in the press, but it really is causing difficulty. There are ways to address it. And I think we need to look at the realistic ways to address it. I want to just add one thing, Francis, which is I think that Secretary Hagel has come in, you know, having to, you know, address a problem of enormous magnitude in his initial months with this sequester. And I think he is stepping up to the plate. And I think he's establishing a process, this strategic management review, which is designed to deal with how do you look at this extra $500 billion. This was anticipated in the 2012 report. His new process is not supposed to be reinventing the wheel and let's figure out what the world looks like again and come to the same conclusions and devote countless hours, countless dollars to coming up with the same conclusions. It's basically saying what the report anticipated. This will deal with the $489 billion. You get to $500 billion additional over the next 10 years, you're going way into bone, beyond meat, and you're going to have to address that. And Secretary Hagel's announcement that there's going to be 20% cuts in his offices and in other leadership offices is pretty serious and just the tip of the iceberg.
That's Doug Wilson, Senior Fellow in Residence at the Truman Project and the Center for National Policy. He's former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs. My guest today on Pentagon Solutions, sponsored by DRS Technologies. When we come back on In Depth with Francis Rose, how the Defense Department builds some leeway into its strategic plans and what happens if they need to use that leeway. That's when we continue in a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Would you trust someone with disabilities to test high-tech protective combat gear? Our armed forces do. Source America provides the military with a highly trained, exceptional workforce, people with significant disabilities. In fact, Source America provides vital expertise to thousands of federal customers across the country. For everything from contract closeouts to food service to call center support. Learn more at sourceamerica.org. An Ability One authorized enterprise.
DRS is up and running.
Monitoring a border is complex. At DRS, we've deployed technology on the Jordanian border.
DRS is proven.
With desert installations in Egypt, we thrive in the most forbidding terrain.
DRS is ready.
And in Arizona, DRS is ready with the most advanced technology. We're prepared to support the U.S. Customs and Border Protection IFT program. DRS Technologies, up, running, and ready to protect the U.S. border.
Learn more at DRS.com.
Hi, I'm Hugh Scott, a retired Navy hospital corpsman and nurse. For over 27 years, I took care of the wounded, but in 2010, I became the patient. All of a sudden, VA's patient portal, My Healthy Vet, became my online safety net. I rely on My Healthy Vet for continuity of care, to manage my health records, and ease my anxiety as a cancer patient. Having information available to me 24/7 on VA's My Healthy Vet helps me feel more in control. With My Healthy Vet, I can communicate with my doctors using secure messaging, view my VA lab results, and even see my VA clinical notes. It's proven. More and more veterans are using My Healthy Vet and getting the upgraded account to do more online. Veterans want this information. It's your care. It's your life. My Healthy Vet is celebrating 10 years of online access. If you're not online, do like I did and enroll today at www.myhealth.va.gov.
At VA eSystems, protecting troops is always a top priority. That's why we create combat vehicles that not only help them win the fight, but bring them back home. Our vehicles are designed from the ground up with the latest integrated solutions, all with troops in mind. Knowing our work makes a difference inspires us every day, so we'll be there on the next front. That's VA eSystems. That's inspired work. Learn more at vaesystems.com/nextfront.
Summer sun in the eye. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Summer sunlight can show us lots of beautiful and fun things, but it can also do us harm. At the National Institutes of Health, eye doctor Rachel Bishop says that sunlight's ultraviolet rays can damage some tissues in the eye.
It can lead to changes that produce a great deal of discomfort on the surface of the eye, and we understand now that it can lead to increased rates of cataract.
Dr. Bishop recommends sunglasses marked for 99 or 100% protection against potentially harmful UVA and UVB rays. Those UV rays can also raise the risk of skin cancer, so covering your eyes works like covering your skin to give you the benefit of good times outside while reducing your risk of serious trouble later. Learn more at healthfinder.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 3 number one albums? 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Now for your Federal News Radio Cybersecurity Update, afternoons at 30 minutes after the hour. Better pay more attention to cybersecurity at the nation's ports. The Brookings Institution says port facilities have aging computer networks. That makes them an easy target. It calls on the government to set cybersecurity standards for ports and to let the Coast Guard enforce those standards. It says the Homeland Security Department should restructure a grant program to encourage ports to upgrade their cyber infrastructure. You get your cybersecurity update afternoons at 30 minutes after the hour on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Today it's Pentagon Solutions, sponsored by DRS Technologies. My guest, Doug Wilson, senior fellow in residence at the Truman Project and the Center for National Policy. He's former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs. And he's writing about ditching the QDR. Ditch the QDR is the title of his opinion piece in Defense One. We have a link at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. In the last part of our conversation, we talked about BRAC as one place the department wants to save. And I asked Mr. Wilson, what happens if the Pentagon can't get Congress to bend on BRAC, or if it takes longer than DOD would like?
It means a revisiting of the amounts that are going to be spent in certain areas. And it means that there's going to be a measurable effect on things like readiness, on training, on troop retention. But it does not mean that we abandon the strategy that frames spending. We're still going to have threats from that arc that extends from North Africa to South Asia. We still have economic opportunities and security challenges we need to address in Asia. We still need to address, and we haven't even talked about this, something that I consider to be a major challenge to this country, which is addressing the real needs of the men and women in uniform who are coming back to communities all over this nation from 10 years on the battlefield. And if you don't mind my just adding this point above and beyond the budget, I think too many of the 99% of us who have not served in uniform tend to look at, you know, those who are returning as either saints and heroes or as, you know, having been damaged and people you need to be afraid of, or as victims. They're not any of those things. They are you and me, and they are people who've stepped up to the plate to address the security needs of this country at great sacrifice to themselves and to their families because they believe in this country. They have seen things that most of us will never see or have to see. And they're coming back to this country. We need to understand that. But they're coming back to this country, and they want to reintegrate to their communities. And they want a sense of normalcy. And they don't want a handout. They want a hand outstretched. They want to know that they can, you know, how to find a job, where their kids are going to be able to succeed in school. They want to return to their neighborhoods and be reintegrated into their communities. A lot of this doesn't cost money. Some of it does. And one of the bases of the 2012 report is that the new investments that would be made, if we're going to throw away weapon systems, and we're going to recognize that even with the sequester, it's going to start, you know, getting into training, dealing with both the internal and the external wounds of those who are returning from battlefield remain priorities regardless.
You mentioned health care and the threats that some groups at least feel that what you and your colleagues at the Pentagon talk about represent to the health care system as it exists today. Put their minds at ease and talk about the fact that budget cuts or shifts in the way that these things are paid for doesn't mean that they're going to get less than the level of service that they're receiving now.
I have many friends, as I'm sure you do, who belong to veterans organizations who disagree with me profoundly, who think that this is an attack on the healthcare system, and they say very rightly that those who have served this country in uniform have gone above and beyond what most of us are ever asked to do, and that they are owed certain things that they signed up for when they entered the service, particularly now that we have an all-volunteer force. And my response to them is they remain as entitled to the best health care, to making sure that their benefits don't get buried in paperwork, which they are at the moment. in making sure that their spouses have opportunities for employment that are not hampered by the difficult lifestyle that they have to live in terms of moving around, that their kids' education is as high a quality and that their needs are met, because the military kids go through their own difficulties as they're watching their parents be deployed. And I say that we need to take a look at what it costs to provide the best possible in each of these areas. And in some of these areas, you can achieve the same result, and it costs a little less. And slowing the costs of the rise in health care does not mean abandoning the quality of service. And in this report, I think it quite specifically talks about these numbers. And I would say to my friends who would disagree, I respect the right to disagree, and the motives for your disagreement are only the best. And the reasons that you want to maintain the best and highest quality are ones that no one disagrees with. We just need to look at whether that can be done for a little less money.
The fourth of the requirements that the Quadrennial Defense Review requires that you say is addressed in the Sustained Global Leadership Strategy is laying the foundation for planning and decision-making over the course of the next 4 years. And we've talked about that also as well, and we've brushed on the Strategic Choices in Management Review, the skimmer, as it's known inside the building. But it's also known, as you refer to it in this piece, by another name inside the building that's not quite as positive.
The skimmer, the scammer, which some call it. I think that because of the fact that the sequester has posed such an immediate and enormous challenge across government, and particularly at the Pentagon, there is a concern that people are flailing about. People are very concerned, and it's extraordinarily serious. But I don't think that they're flailing about. I think that's part of the problem with the process, is that's the image that's been created. When, in fact, this was a plan B, and a caveat to the 2012 report. It didn't say, okay, our fingers are crossed behind our back, and if we get the sequester, everything in this means we go back to square one. What it means is we are going to have to find, under this framework, additional savings of a magnitude that could really challenge our readiness and our training and our ability to carry out the missions that we're saying we're going to do at the level and quality we're going to say. But it doesn't mean that we need to re-identify the risks. It doesn't mean that we need to say, all right, we don't need to invest in cybersecurity, because we do. We don't need to invest in our troops and in PTS and TBI treatment, because we do. We do need to retain systems that we said don't fit the strategy, because we don't need to go back and retain those systems. What it means is these are additional billions of dollars that are going to have to come out, and they're going to have personal impact, they're going to have military impact, and they're going to have an impact, you know, on our training and readiness. But when I talk about what's the fundamental roadmap and providing a foundation on which to proceed, the 2012 report provides that foundation. And when I talk about taking a look at this upcoming QDR, I'm not saying that the process itself is outmoded and should never take place. I'm saying that the times warranted the kind of review that took place, that required everybody to think this way and produced a product that we are better served to try to implement than we are to try to reinvent.
That's Doug Wilson. He's Senior Fellow in Residence at the Truman Project, the Center for National Policy. He's former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs. My guest on Pentagon Solutions today, sponsored by DRS Technologies. And when we continue, Mr. Wilson addresses some skepticism at the Pentagon over the skimmer and how the agency can deal with that skepticism. That's when we come back on In Depth with Francis Rose.
MilitaryByOwner.com. When duty calls, they can help.
When my husband got orders to PCS to Jacksonville, we only had 2 months to sell our home near Quantico and find housing near our new base. We were overwhelmed. No, make that panicked. I'm happy to report we've checked into our new duty station, our daughter is enrolled in school, and we're settled into the perfect home that we found on MilitaryByOwner.com.
Military by Owner. Find, sell, or rent housing near any U.S. military base. Homes advertised by homeowners and real estate agents.
DRS is up and running.
Monitoring a border is complex. At DRS, we've deployed technology on the Jordanian border.
DRS is proven.
With desert installations in Egypt, we thrive in the most forbidding terrain.
DRS is ready.
And in Arizona, DRS is ready with the most advanced technology. We're prepared to support the U.S. Customs and Border Protection IFT program. DRS Technologies, up, running, and ready to protect the U.S. border.
Learn more at DRS.com.
Hamid Jafari eradicated polio in India. John McKinnon rescued 160 victims of child pornography. And Kevin Geist saved the Air Force $1 billion in energy costs. The list of federal employees making a real difference goes on and on. 31 individuals and teams of feds are being recognized for their work. Each has been named a Service to America Medal finalist. Hear interviews with each of the nominees and learn more about what makes them tick at federalnewsradio.com. Search Service to America.
Management Friday on Federal News Radio. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's Workforce Perspective on Inside Government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Now your Federal News Radio DOD report brought to you by BAE Systems. Afternoons at 40 minutes past the hour. Senator John McCain says he won't delay the nomination of Army General Martin Dempsey as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Senator McCain originally said he might hold up a Senate vote until General Dempsey further explained his stance on military aid to Syria. Reuters reports Senator McCain says he's still disappointed with General Dempsey's approach to Syria but will not interfere with the nomination process. You get your DOD report brought to you by BAE Systems. Afternoons at 40 minutes past the hour on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. My guest on Pentagon Solutions today, sponsored by DRS Technologies, is Doug Wilson. He's senior fellow in residence at the Truman Project and the Center for National Policy. He's former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs, and he's writing an opinion piece in Defense One titled Ditch the QDR. The 20% cut at the top levels of the Pentagon is just the first of what could be quite a few reductions coming out of the Strategic Choices and Management Review, the Skimmer. Mr. Wilson writes in his piece that there is a lot of skepticism at the Pentagon over the Skimmer. He also writes, it should be explained and defined for what it's really intended to be. I asked him why there is a disconnect between the intention of the skimmer and the perception.
I think this is mostly a matter of not taking enough time to make the connect. I think this is not a sin of commission at all. I think that Secretary Hagel and his top team have been faced with enormous challenges. They have had – no one was expecting that the sequester would actually be implemented, as you well know. And we live in times not only of economic challenge, but where political cooperation sometimes is as difficult to find as, you know, easy economic answers. As a result of that, very good people are having to work double time in order to find the answers to these questions. The point that I wanted to make in my piece – is that it is an opportunity for the Pentagon to say, we're not flapping in the breeze. We're addressing real challenges. But to add to that, we understood that we were going to have to do that. We told the country that if we had to do that, this is what we would have to deal with, and this is what they're going to have to face. And that's what we're doing right now. But it doesn't mean that all that has gone before is being tossed out the window. It still frames the needs that we need to address. So it's not just the Pentagon, Francis, that has spending choices to make. It's this country that needs to understand the impact of what's going to happen as a result of sequester on fulfilling a strategy that basically has been designed and bought into by all those who have to implement it, not just at the Pentagon. This was bought into by all of the national security agencies and departments. So the point I really wanted to make is it's important to look at the SCMR in that context. This department is designed to protect this country's national security. If people are wondering whether we're crying wolf as a result of the spending cuts, a question that often has been posed with good reason, we need to take a look at what was outlined in the 2012 report, and now we need to take a look at what more is being asked.
You wrap this up by writing, Pentagon leaders, if the quadrennial defense review is dispensed with, could turn their time and attention more productively to personnel acquisition and budget issues that have yet to be fully addressed. I think the budget issues that they need to address are evident. They're all over the place. Tell me about your thoughts about some of those personnel or acquisition issues that are deserving of attention but maybe aren't getting the attention that they should be.
I actually think that my friends, Frank Kendall and others in the acquisition department, followed Ash Carter, now the deputy secretary, have done a really excellent job in terms of working with defense contractors to try to reduce overhead costs, get a greater and more equal share of what happens when you need to go back to the drawing board. And I think that people who are working in departments like that ought not to be diverted in terms of their time and attention to produce another report which is likely to come up with the same kinds of strategic results as the one that's just been designed. With regard to personnel, the Department of Personnel and Readiness is one of the most essential departments in the Pentagon, and one that has seen more than its share of challenges over the last several years. They've just asked Jessica Wright to become the permanent undersecretary. She's terrific. But there needs to be attention paid to solving with the Veterans Affairs Department ways to greatly increase the reduction of the paperwork and the backlog of benefits, to find a common technological system to address, the problem of processing these new benefits, to address the needs of our returning veterans, not just with regards to post-traumatic stress, but with regards to successful reintegration into communities. One of the suggestions that I would make is that we ought to ask our general counsel departments in our national security agencies to go back and take a look at regulations that are 40 years old, particularly those that hamper working with private sector and nonprofit organizations, which themselves are willing to step up to the plate and often can provide outstanding solutions individually or in partnership with the government, if only there were more effective ways to work with it rather than having the door slammed shut so that you don't offend everybody. Some of these kinds of solutions don't necessarily require lots of additional money. What they do require is people in charge being able to have the time to pay.
That is Doug Wilson. He is senior fellow in residence at the Truman Project in the Center for National Policy. He's former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs, writing about the QDR under the headline Ditch the QDR in Defense One. You can find a link to that later today at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. When we come back to Pentagon Solutions, sponsored by DRS Technologies, I'll get personal with Mr. Wilson about what he's been doing since leaving the Pentagon. That's next on In Depth with Francis Rose.
You can join State Department Federal Credit Union today and enjoy a $50 bonus, and that's just the beginning of your benefits. Take advantage of an SDFCU free checking account and earn rewards points just by using your debit card. That's right, rewards with your debit card. You'll have access to 29,000 ATMs, mobile deposit, and option to design your own card. Get your $50 bonus and rewards. Visit joinsdfcu.org. That's joinsdfcu.org.
SDFCU is federally insured by NCUA.
Technical and Management Resources, or TMR, is proud to announce their recent preliminary award under the Department of Homeland Security's Eagle II contract. As part of the Eagle II award, TMR will propose and compete on task orders associated with the Functional Category 2 Small Business Track. Founded in 1998 and located in the D.C. metro area, TMR is an IT services company offering professional engineering, planning, and implementation support to federal government agencies and corporate clients. Visit TMRHQ.com to learn more.
How does your office celebrate a win? Hugs? High fives? Somebody makes an awkward speech, but somehow it works? However you do it, it feels great because it's a win. Every day there are celebrations across America by government agencies, commercial businesses, and healthcare companies. Some of them celebrate saving money, some of them celebrate saving lives. Force 3 is here to help them celebrate faster by enhancing the way their people conduct business, whether it's using virtualization technologies, new storage strategies, or ingenious network solutions. If you're interested in today's most advanced technology solutions, or if you just want to meet people that are doing great things, visit Force3.com. Force 3, let's do something great. Force 3 is a Cisco Gold partner and one of the largest providers of Cisco to the federal government. Visit Force3.com to find out more about our leading technologies.
DRS is up and running.
Monitoring a border is complex. At DRS, we've deployed technology on the Jordanian border.
DRS is proven.
With desert installations in Egypt, we thrive in the most forbidding terrain.
DRS is ready.
And in Arizona, DRS is ready with the most advanced technology. We're prepared to support the U.S. Customs and Border Protection IFT program. DRS Technologies, up, running, and ready to protect the U.S. border.
Learn more at DRS.com.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com, wrapping up my conversation with Doug Wilson on Pentagon Solutions today, sponsored by DRS Technologies. He's senior fellow at the Truman Project, and his opinion piece is titled Ditch the QDR. You can find a link to that later today at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. But I get personal with him and talk about the things he's been doing since he's left the Pentagon.
These are issues that are very, very important to me. When I left the Pentagon, I basically said no to just about everything that people asked me to do, with a couple of exceptions. Blue Star Families is the nation's largest organization supporting military families. And the Donnie Dixon Center was founded by Colonel Dave Sutherland and his assistant Kim Mitchell, and is working now with the Easter Seals organization in order to do exactly what I feel so strongly about, which is helping communities around the country understand how they can effectively help to reintegrate and provide some normalcy into the lives of returning vets. Dave and Kim are two of the most outstanding vets I've ever met. And I'm somebody who believes that there are ways to give back. I understand when people joke around saying, well, you gotta just not say, you know, thank you for your service. But I want to tell you, Francis, that at a conference I organized a few years ago involving military support organizations from across the spectrum, we had a gentleman from a foundation come down who knew nothing about the military, and he was with us for a couple of days, and he said, this is great. He said, I really want to help. He says, but I'm busy. He said, and I don't have a lot of time. What can I do that's easy and doesn't take a lot of time? And most people, I'm sure, would, you know, throw their hands up in horror at such a question. But in actual fact, Francis, that is the question that I would say most people in America ask. And there are answers to this question. You can address that honestly. There are easy ways and ways that don't take a lot of time and that are meaningful to our veterans to basically say, you belong here. You have a role here. Your family belongs here. And we are going to make sure that you understand you are very much a part of the place you defended.
That's Doug Wilson. He's senior fellow in residence at the Truman Project and the Center for National Policy. My guest on Pentagon Solutions today, sponsored by DRS Technologies on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Our conversation's archived at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. And hour number two of In Depth with Francis Rose coming in minutes on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.